We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice. It is indeed uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says. We need to believe what it says. God's word this morning comes to us out of Hebrews chapter 11. We should always call that the faith chapter. So it's all about faith. And I want us to look at this chapter this morning, or at least parts of it, the last parts of it, not necessarily as a history lesson in men of old and men of faith, but why it's really here, because it's not here as a history lesson. Because all this history is already somewhere else in the Bible. It's here to elucidate for us so we can understand a little bit of what are the steps, what are the things that allow us to be a person of faith, and what we should expect, what we should know is going to happen as we become people of faith. So listen to God's word as I read it to you. In the NIV version, from Hebrews 11, verses 6 through 30. It's a long read. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. And even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own, as if they had been thinking of the country they had left. They would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. This is the word of the Lord. A lot of by faith in that passage. When you live a life of faith, you can read these 24 verses and you pretty much get the idea that something's going to happen. Things begin to happen in your daily existence beyond your explanation. You read these stories of all these men of faith down through the years, and the Bible's full of both men and women of faith. We could go on and on. In fact, Hebrews goes on and on. Help comes from places we didn't expect it to come from. Results are realized that you didn't anticipate. And you experience blessings beyond your biggest dreams. That's what living a life of faith gives us. But that's not simply everything that life of faith will give you. Because we shouldn't discern or think that the life of faith is an easy walk. It isn't. When you choose a life of faith, you remove the neutral option, you might want to say. There's no coasting in the life of faith. And continuing with the car analogy, neither is there park nor reverse in the life of faith. It's always moving forward. It's always going ahead. And thus the life of faith is not a lifestyle for the timid. Because you're always stepping out just a little bit further than what you actually can see. There are risks involved. Indeed, there are. You've heard me say many times that faith is not a feeling. In fact, sometimes when you're walking in faith, you don't feel even a little bit warm and fuzzy. There's no bubbling going on inside necessarily. That's not the indicator of walking in faith. You might feel a little nervous. In fact, many times you probably will feel a little nervous. Just recount those stories that we just read out of Hebrews. Every one of those men, you think they weren't nervous? Maybe a little afraid? Because they were taking a risk. And you're not really sure how things are going to work out. I mean, how would you think if God spoke to you in this moment, he says, get up and go, I'm going to take you to a place you know not where. I'll show you when you get there. We might be throwing some fleece out, right? We've got to test this a little bit more. Walking in faith is walking in risk. It's taking a chance. It's taking a chance. When that happens, you don't need to worry about it because you're not relying upon your own feelings, obviously. You're relying on the goodness of God. And you're relying on the promises of God. And you're relying on the protection of God. Now, you're relying on all that in faith, but that's a pretty good risk to take, is it not? It's a decision that we all make. A choice that we all do. Oh yes, saving faith is a gift of God. It's something that's granted to us. It's the work of His Holy Spirit in our life. But the exercise of faith, the living out of faith, that's a choice that you and I make. That's a decision that you and I make or not make. It's an action. It's an action. God enabled, yes indeed, but not God forced. The truth is that you and I can only go as far as our faith or our trust in God is strong enough to take us. Why? Why? Because God responds to our faith. God responds to our faith, not our feelings, not our wants, not necessarily our needs, but your faith in Jesus. His exact words, according to your faith, it will be done to you, in Matthew 9. This morning, I want us to look at this Hebrews 11 passage and focus on the results or the guarantees, if you would, of living in faith. If you get serious about making the walk of faith day after day, I can guarantee you, because the Bible guarantees you, that certain things are going to happen. It shouldn't surprise us. We should expect them. And we can see these truths in this text this morning as the writer of Hebrews has outlined them to us. And one of the first things, the first guarantees that you can see in this passage is that you will be pleasing to God. Look at it right there in verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Exercising our faith does please God. Without it, it is impossible to please Him. Faith makes God happy. You want to make God happy? You want to put a smile on His face? Then walk in faith. Walk in faith. The Bible goes so far as to say that if you don't walk in faith, if you don't make that choice, you won't make Him happy. He says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Then he goes on, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. There's your attitude of expectancy. There's your attitude of looking forward with an anticipation of what God is going to do, of what God is promising. That expectancy in the goodness of God. God wants us not only to acknowledge His existence, but also to believe. Truly believe that He is good to those who seek Him, that He blesses those, He rewards those who seek Him. That's how we're saved. You know, how a relationship with God begins. We're saved, according to Paul, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. God, in other words, honors your faith with salvation. Not from ourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. A relationship with God begins with faith, and it is sustained by faith. It's our faith that keeps us connected to God. And this connection is what God seeks with His children. Now, how does God generate that faith? How does God blossom that little faith bud inside of us? Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit way before we ever profess Him. God moving and nurturing and guiding and choosing His elect, as He says in Scripture. God stirring in your heart, the Holy Spirit stirring, bringing you to a point that you can profess Him as Lord and Savior. So God gives us all the ingredients of faith. Every bit. Have you ever had a job that you could perform without any personal investment and still do it pretty well? I did one time. I worked in a shipping department of a large department store. Well, I could unload and load those boxes all day long without getting emotionally attached to any one of them, you know. I could move things around on that dock, and I could keep things very neat and very square, very squeaky clean. And by looking, you couldn't tell whether I loved that job or whether I liked my boss. or whether I was even a happy person. I'll confess, sometimes I probably wasn't all that happy moving around. Sometimes my mind would be 1,000 miles away. But the boxes got moved, and I got paid, not for my emotional attachment, but just the routine work. Nothing more. You ever had that kind of a relationship with a job? Now, that's not the kind of relationship God wants with us. But yet, too many times, that's what we give Him. We're not just to go through the routine and through the ordinary of trying to live for God, keeping the Ten Commandments, or at least most of them, or whatever, ten suggestions as we often call them, and giving a little bit of money into the plate when it comes around. Now, God wants us to be invested in Him personally, emotionally. He wants us to connect with Him at that level. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to need Him. He wants us to depend on Him. And that's why He responds then to our faith, because you can't put your faith in God without being personally connected, personally involved with Him. You can't put your faith in Him without acknowledging that He is a loving and merciful and generous God, and that He's good to us far, far beyond what we deserve. You see that connection? It pleases God when we put our faith in Him. It pleases God when you say, "Father, I'm trusting in You to restore my broken marriage. I'm depending on You to bring healing to my body. I'm relying on You to provide for my job, or to get me through this crisis, or bring someone special into my life." What needs do we have? You know, some of us may be getting a little older. We may be running a little bit out of gas, a little low on energy. Maybe we need to be praying, "Lord, give me the energy to serve You well. Whatever time is left in this earth." When you see someone who's giving that kind of faith to God, you see somebody who's pleasing God. Who's pleasing God. It will make a difference. So from the very start, I want you to take assurance in knowing that your attempt to live a life of faith is pleasing to God. Now, secondly, if you choose a life of faith, I can guarantee you that you will sometimes abandon the security that you know and inner parts that you don't know. Hebrews, the writer, says in verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith," he says, "he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country." Now, the story of Abraham begins back in Genesis, when his name was Abram. Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to a land I will show you." And he went. He went. God then gave Abram an incredible promise. "I will make you into a great nation," he said. "I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing." Now, this is several chapters ahead of the story of Isaac being offered in sacrifice. And there are probably some of us here today whom God has called to go to parts unknown. Maybe it's to start a business. Maybe to leave the security of a 9-to-5 and go out on your own. Maybe it's to serve Him in another city. Maybe it's to go into a certain ministry or to start a certain project. You have to leave the security the comfort of what you know and go beyond to something that you don't know. You can't guarantee. You can't feel sure and certain. You remember that little word we used earlier? You take a risk. You take a risk. So if you choose to live a life of faith, you know that you're going to go to parts unknown. You know that it's going to please God when you're going. But it's not going to be that comfortable. Sometimes it's going to be very uncomfortable. And that brings me to the third point. If you choose to live a life of faith, you can be guaranteed that you're going to be called to prove yourself. 17 and 19, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Makes no sense in this world, makes every sense in God's world. And Abraham was willing to trust God. Abraham reasoned that God could maybe raise him from the dead. I don't know what he was thinking. Figuratively, literally, it wasn't an easy place. A lot of people have troubles believing this story about God. They think that, how could a God do such a thing? How could a God be this, a loving God, be this way? You know, God told Abraham that he'd be this father of many nations, and then he told him to sacrifice his only son. Could that be right? Was Abraham hearing God, or was he hearing some crazy voice in his head? Now, you probably know how the story ends, so you kind of cheat a little bit. Abraham didn't have to kill his son in this case, but he did take him up on the mountain, and he did prepare an altar, and he was ready. He was prepared. And then God spoke to him and says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have held from me your son, your only son. Many people wonder, how could God do such a thing? And I think there's three thoughts in this. One, I think this sacrifice on that altar of Abraham's son, or almost sacrifice, was a foreshadowing of God actually sacrificing his son on the cross of Calvary. Secondly, I think that this was God's way of showing that he didn't endorse human sacrifice, which was a big thing around the cultures of the day. Wouldn't have been any crime at all for Abraham to have killed his son. The police wouldn't have shown up. He wouldn't have been arrested. Not in that day. Son was considered just another possession, and a whole lot of religions practiced child sacrifice. But God forbade it from taking place, and he did it to dramatize the point. No, I don't want this to happen. Human sacrifice is not acceptable practice. And thirdly, I also think that the story shows us that sometimes God will call upon us to do things that we don't understand, that are really hard, really hard. Things we don't want to do. And he does it because he wants us to take our stand and choose which side we're going to be on. And to say, God, I'm going to do what you ask me to do. I don't understand it. I've got lots of questions, but I'm going to do what you're calling me to do, because I'm certain it's your call. It's your call. Now, I can guarantee you God will never call you to do what he called Abraham to do. One, because Jesus has already come. We've already had that foreshadowing. And two, because it's murder now in our culture. you'd go to jail. You know, God doesn't call you to break the laws and go to jail. He doesn't call you to commit murder. That's a different day, a different way. But I can also guarantee that there's going to be many times as you try to walk in faith that God's going to call you to take steps that you don't want to take. The good news is that the tests don't last forever. The book of James says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." God's trying to mold us and make us and shape us into the men and women of faith that can move mountains, that can move this world, that can make the difference. And look around. We pray every Sunday for peace. We pray every Sunday for some sanity. And we don't need to go far. It's all around us. We're just really, really mixed up in the world we live in. And God needs people of faith to stand up and make the difference. That's how it's going to happen. It's not going to be some starship that comes down from, you know, heaven, order us all into proper place. No. God's got his starship right here. And he's calling us to be people of faith and go out and move the mountains. But I got more guarantees. A fourth guarantee of a life of faith is that you'll be called upon to make sacrifices. I left that one further down in the list because I didn't want you to just tune out right off the bat. Look at 24 and 6. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. You know, when we talk about living a life of faith and seeing God do great things in our life, I want you to understand that it will happen. I also want you to understand that there's going to be seasons of life when you're not on the receiving end of God's blessings, but you're on the giving end of personal sacrifice. There will be seasons when you're not living in abundance, when you're living in lack, waiting for God to provide. Now, he will provide, but there will be that sense and season of doing without before that provision. There will be times of waiting. There always are. And so many times when our faith is weak, we walk into that time of waiting and we just give up. We just give up. During the time of waiting, it's absolutely essential that we remain faithful. Faithful. There's going to be times when you think, you know what's best for you. There's going to be those times when you said, you know, I could have it a lot easier than this. I could give up now and I wouldn't have to do all this sacrificing. I wouldn't have to do all this stuff. If I wasn't investing so much money in God's work, I'd have more money to go to the beach, right? More money to take my vacations, more money to buy good things for my house. If I wasn't investing so much time in serving others, I could spend a little more time on the golf course. Maybe even sign up for that tournament. If I wasn't pursuing my life so doggedly after that dream of success, then maybe I could relax and watch a little more TV. No. If you pursue the me first rather than God first, you're going to end up losing. You're going to end up losing. But walking in faith, you can be guaranteed it will call for some personal sacrifices. Now let me give you one more, and it's the last one. You will see the power of God unfold before your very eyes. You know, it's always worth it to get to the end. It's always worth it. Guarantee of a life of faith. You're going to see the power of God unfold right in front of your eyes. Verse 29, by faith the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Wow, wouldn't you have loved to have been a part of that trip? When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So it wasn't a figment of somebody's imagination. It wasn't walking through on the, you know, the knee-deep water of the marsh. No, no, they were big enough to drown an Egyptian's army. I think it's pretty deep water. The writer goes on to say in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You know, this story of the parting of the Red Sea and the story of the walls of Jericho tumbling down are well known in our circles, in our Christian circles, well known in the Old Testament. And they were well known as God making the impossible happen. How is He able to provide a solution where there is no solution in sight? You may be trapped between the mighty sea and the approaching army with no possible way of escape. And at the right moment, there's God. And He provides a way out. There may be impenetrable walls standing between you and the life of your dreams or the need that you have with no possible way to get past them. And at the right moment, God will provide a way through. He's done it over and over and over again. That's what this book is all about. I can imagine that everyone here who has been a Christian for even a short while has a Red Sea or a Jericho wall story to tell. A time when God came through. God came through for you in a grand way, a miraculous way. When you choose to live a life of faith day after day, these become more common occurrences. Maybe it's because we just have eyes that see them. They're happening all around anytime. But they seem to be happening everywhere. You'll see God's power unfold before your very eyes. You see needs being met right at the moment that you need them. You will see miracles in place in hopeless situations. You will experience power over sin that you never thought possible. You will enjoy blessings beyond your greatest hopes. I can guarantee that because God guarantees it. The life of faith is not for the timid, not for the faint of heart, not for those who want an easy life, but for those who want a great life. Those who want to accomplish things for God. And want to see Him do great things around you. If you're willing to put aside your feelings, if you're ready to decide to live in expectation, then begin asking God to do great things in your life. If you're ready to follow through with your actions consistent with what you're asking for, if you're ready to take the risk and enter parts unknown, to make a stand, to pay the price of faith, you will experience the power of God in your life as never before. That's a challenge not only for you and me individually, but it's a challenge for our church. If we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ that God wants First Church to be, then we need to quit talking about those good old days when this church planted 9 other churches in this valley. And we need to be planting churches today. We need to be talking not so much about the grand history, and it was grand, but we need to be living that history today. We've got a transition, a new chapter beginning. But if you expect a new pastor to come into this church and make that transition, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. He can come into this church and lead you into that transition, into that new day, walking in faith, watching God do miracles all around, watching people come to Him whom maybe you thought could never come. That's what it's about. And it's my prayer that somehow God will energize us, so with His leadership that He would bring, we would be able to do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, you